Well, I have a question to kick us off this morning. Where were you in early April 2007? Can you remember? I was a junior in college. I know that sounds really young, but at that time, I had just gotten back from a spring break trip to New Orleans to help with Hurricane Katrina relief. So this is where, you know, we students would sleep on the floors of churches and we would repair houses during the day. I asked a few other folks what they were doing back in April 2007. Our pastoral intern, Marissa, was in seventh grade. So here she is in her church youth group as a middle schooler. Somehow not much has changed. But just think, now she's married, she's halfway through her master's, and she's about to have her first child. Yep. So Pastor David thought back to where he was in April 2007. And he discovered that he was at his wedding shower. Aw. So he and Carolyn were gearing up to get married later that summer. There they are with the all-important cheese board. But it can be hard to remember back that far. So you can try if you can. In fact, I want us to take a moment to do that with our neighbor. If you would, turn to your neighbor and share with each other where you were back in the spring of 2007. So we'll take a few minutes for that, and then we'll come back together. All right, maybe we can come back together. If you didn't get a chance to finish discussing this, you can continue it during the passing of the peace later. But it's an interesting question, isn't it? Where were we in April 2007? Because that happens to be exactly 12 years ago. And 12 years is exactly how long the woman has been bleeding in the story we just read. This woman who needs a healing from Jesus, she has been dealing with this awful ailment every day for 12 years. So imagine if you had been bleeding ever since that thing that you were just trying to remember, that thing that you were just telling your neighbor about, ever since that junior year mission trip or that wedding shower, 12 straight years. I did want us to do that exercise because I think we need to feel her desperation this morning. We've been in this sermon series we're calling Grow Up, Taking the Next Step in Faith. And each week we've heard stories of people in the Bible who had to step out in faith. You know, they had to let their fishing nets down in deep water, or they had to walk after being paralyzed their whole life. They had to be reborn and made new. They had to grow up. And some of these people came to Jesus to take that next step in faith. They came for a number of reasons. Some of them came to Jesus out of excitement and curiosity. Maybe they saw him do a miracle, or they heard him read their minds. So they may have taken a new step just out of being intrigued, which is a great reason for following Jesus. There's nothing wrong with getting to know him just because you're curious. But in today's story, this woman seems to take a new step, not out of excitement or curiosity, but out of desperation. She has tried everything else, so why not try Jesus? The story says she had endured much under many physicians, so she's gone from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist. She's tried to get people to call her back. She's tried to get the insurance companies to finally give her coverage. She had endured much under many physicians, it says, and had spent all that she had. astronomical bills, bills that will bankrupt you, tens of thousands of dollars per pill or injection. She had spent all she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. So she's desperate. But she had heard about a man named Jesus. A lot of people were starting to hear about him, to the point where whenever he crossed a road or crossed a lake, a great crowd was there waiting for him on the other side. People heard he can heal you, and that he's willing to touch you even when you're unclean, which is what they thought people were when they had skin diseases or were bleeding like this woman was. Jesus was starting to get this reputation for being willing and able to touch you and heal you, no matter who you were. And that made people want to be near him. It made people not want to be the same. Have you ever been so desperate you would give anything to not stay the same? Have you ever lived with a disease for so long, or lived with shame for so long, or just lived with dissatisfaction long enough to think that you'll try anything? Several of us went to a fundraiser for Family Promise a couple weeks ago. Family Promise is that organization that provides a home for moms and children who would otherwise be homeless. And so these families stay in the Family Promise house for several months while they work on building up their finances. And while they're there, people from our church and other churches come and spend the night with them. We cook a meal and we eat with them around their table. We play with their kids, and then we overnight there so we can be there in case anything happens. It's really a wonderful place to see the words of Christ come alive. Well, at this fundraiser, we got to hear from one of the moms herself. Ebony talked about what had led her to the doorstep of Family Promise in the first place. She lost her job of 9 years, 7 months, and 22 days. Those were her words. 9 years, 7 months, 22 days. She had been promoted twice from server in the dining room all the way up to manager, but she lost her job. She had no benefits. She'd overdrawn her bank account. She was evicted from her home. She started sleeping in her car in the Walmart parking lot, or in the parking lot of a 24-hour gym. And she was 5 months pregnant. Absolute desperation. Now, Ebony had grown up with a mother who had used Family Promise herself twice, so she was no stranger to that kind of desperation. But she had vowed to herself that she would never be in that same boat. So she teeter-tottered for a while about going to Family Promise, you know, resisting it and resisting it, but she had no other options. She had to find herself on the same doorstep her mom had been on. And then she had to do something small. She had to reach out and press a doorbell. And it looks like a tiny step, but it risks everything. It's worth the risk. In less than 2 months of living at Family Promise, Ebony had a job. She had an identity, meaning she was able to get her birth certificate and a driver's license. She had daycare, housing. She works two jobs now. She's studying to be a pharmacy tech. She's going to have an internship at Walgreens this summer. And she got a new vehicle through the Wheels for Work program. Her life looks so different now than when she had to first reach out and press that doorbell. But when you're desperate enough, you will reach out in whatever way you can. You will reach out in whatever way you can to get the healing you need. And so for the woman who bled for 12 years, again, it looks like a tiny step, reaching out and touching the hem of Jesus' cloak. But it risks everything, and it's worth the risk. This woman who had been hemorrhaging and suffering, she risked her life to touch Jesus because she wasn't supposed to touch anyone, and no one was supposed to touch her. the penalty for violating this purity code was actual stoning. The crowd could have turned around and stoned her to death for what she dared to do. But she had to. She had to reach out, even in that tiny way, because she knew she couldn't stay the way she was. And she knew this man was worth risking her life for the life he would give her in return. So while a large crowd is following Jesus and pressing in on him, she joins the crowd and pushes her way toward him. And somehow she knows which man in the crowd is him. Even though she's never seen him before, something in her can recognize him. And she comes up behind him and takes all of her courage in one hand and thinks, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. She reaches out and touches his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stops. There's a profound change. She can feel it in her body. She doesn't even have to run to the bathroom to check. She feels in her body that she is healed of her disease. Finally, after 12 years, it's over. And what about us? Are we desperate enough to risk everything, to take one small step in faith? I think plenty of us in this room either are in that desperate place where we know all we have left is Jesus, or we aren't yet in that place, but mark my words, we will be one day. Might as well reach out now, right? We just have to decide if the risk is worth it. Do we ask for help even if we vowed to ourselves that we would never humble ourselves like that? Do we ask for a healing from the Lord even as we know we might not get it? Do we put our hopes into reconciling a broken relationship in our family even if that person might reject us? Do we come up and kneel at the altar and ask Jesus for something even if the whole crowd is watching? You know, we've been talking about worship plus two and taking the next step in faith, and it leads me to ask the same questions. Do we sign up at one of those tables after church today and agree to serve somewhere new, even if we feel uncomfortable, or share our testimony in church, even if we're terrified, or just pray in the morning, even if it means we have to get up earlier? The step can be really small, as small as touching the fringe of someone's coat. But it can still come with a big risk, so is it worth it? I think it is. We can be like this woman who took that next step, even as it meant she would come in fear and trembling and fall down before Jesus and have to tell him the whole truth. But it's worth it to get that new life. It's worth it just to hear Jesus call you daughter. To hear Jesus say, daughter, your faith has made you well. Son, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. We're about to come to the communion table now, and that's another place where we do something really small. We reach out and we take this little piece of bread, but that little touch risks everything because it unites us to Jesus. And that means we go wherever he goes and we love as he loves. That means we don't ever get to be the same. If you're in a place of desperation this morning, you're invited to this table. And if you aren't quite there right now, you're still invited because Jesus is here. And our next step in faith is to reach out and touch him. Will you turn to page 12 in your hymnals?